If we mention one-time rock star Dean Reed, most of you will probably respond, Dean who? Well, if you were a teenager in the 1970s and 80s in the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, or parts of Latin America, well, Dean Reed was the bomb. His albums went gold from Bulgaria to Berlin. He made movies and TV specials and played to packed audiences of adoring fans who always wondered why so very few west of the Elbe River had ever heard of him. In 1986, as Glasnost created cracks in the Berlin Wall, Dean Reed drowned in East Berlin, a death that was variously ascribed to the Stasi, to the KGB, and to the CIA. Do you remember Dean Reed? Call us, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Reggie Nadelson is a writer and filmmaker who became obsessed with the life of this Colorado cowboy and traveled to Berlin and Moscow to find out more about him. She helped produce a BBC documentary about him and wrote Comrade Rockstar, The Life and Mystery of Dean Reed, the All-American Boy Who Brought Rock and Roll to the Soviet Union. She joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
Actually, you say your interest was first piqued when you saw Dean Reed profiled on 60 Minutes back in 1986. What particularly intrigued you?
Well, I suppose what intrigued me was to see this really all-American, tremendously handsome boy who might have been a country and western singer and clearly had gone across the Berlin Wall and had become a huge, huge star in Eastern Europe, but become a star by at the same time spouting the socialist line and singing Blue Suede Shoes in Tbilisi. And I sat up and I thought, this is amazing. I mean, first of all, I grew up in New York and I was something of a red diaper baby. I don't think I really knew they had communists west of the Hudson at that time. So I was utterly intrigued. And I kind of put it away. But a friend of mine said, if you want to write a movie, which I had in mind at the time, read the obituaries. And 6 weeks later, I was looking at the Times. And there was an obituary, Dean Reed, dead in a lake in East Berlin, in the improbably named town of Schmuckwitz, where he lived. And there was a trickle of rumor, and so I started to follow it.
The rumors, as we mentioned, were that he was knocked off by the CIA for, spreading socialist propaganda, that he was knocked off by the KGB because he knew too much of what we're not sure, or even the Stasi, the East German police.
It's true. I mean, what had begun to happen is in the wake of 60 Minutes, when he did some very unwise things, like suggesting that Ronald Reagan was more of a danger than Joseph Stalin had ever been, and Gorbachev was a more moral man than Ronald Reagan. There was a flood of hate mail to 60 Minutes about him afterwards. He began to feel very very fed up with all of his lives. He'd visited America, wanted to come home, couldn't really come home. He was a 47-year-old cowboy for whom nobody had any time anymore. He was making too much noise back east. And generally, it was felt that it could have been any of the above, any of the CIA, KGB, a combination of them. It could have been a kind of, who will rid me of this priest scenario? Maybe somebody inside the local police said, this guy's a real pain. It would be great not to have him around. And of course, even though the Soviet Union was beginning to crack, East Germany seemed as solid as can be. I mean, nobody would have thought in 1986 that 3 years later, you'd be walking through that wall and chipping a little piece of it to take home for a souvenir.
Well, tell us how all of this got started. I mean, Dean Reed, born in Colorado, was planning to be a TV weatherman. Hard to imagine a more all-American craft than that. Yet suddenly, on the spur of the moment, decides to drive out to Hollywood to be a star. And where did he go wrong?
Well, I don't know wrong or right, but I mean, every turning is so jaw-hangingly improbable and perfect for the movie, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So he leaves home, and of course he has a white Chevy Impala 1959 convertible, and of course he meets a bum on the road who says, if you give me your spare pair of jeans, I'll introduce you to someone. And he introduces him to a producer who was a real producer who had produced a lot of Sinatra's records, and so it goes. And he became a kind of... I always feel if he'd stayed home, and this will only apply to people old enough to remember, he could have been Fabian. He could have had a tiny little career, but he was impatient. He did a song called My Summer Romance, and he heard that it was a big hit in Chile. So he got in the Chevy, drives to Chile, arrives there and discovers that there are 500,000 kids in the square screaming, Viva Dean Reed. Well, I mean, this was catnip. I mean, who could resist?
And then he, in his time in South America, well, even beginning in Hollywood before, begins to acquire politics.
He had a mentor in Hollywood called Peyton Price, who was the drama coach at Warner's Star Schools in the sort of 50s and early 60s. You know, they had all these little, they had schools where they trained up people to be starlets. And among his classmates were Gene Seberg, one of the Smothers brothers, Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers, and Dick Clark. But Peyton Price, the mentor, had a kind of, you know, classic socialist, American socialist view. So he picked up a bit of it there. But when he got to South America, it was the 60s. And, you know, I always think he saw the writing on the wall, and the writing on the wall said, Yankee, go home. He became friends with Victor Jara, who was a famous folk singer. But he loved it. I mean, he loved the political limelight. It was, for him, it was just like the spotlight on a stage. And then there came a moment when he went to the Soviet Union for the first time.
And there he also found an important stage. And let's get some listeners in the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Our subject is Dean Reed, comrade rock star. And let's talk to TK. TK calling from Berkeley, California.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, my name is Kike Cruz, and I come from Chile. And I heard about Dean Reed in Chile when I was a kid. He was a singer, and he appeared in different programs. And the most flamboyant thing he did was once he went in front of the U.S. Embassy in Santiago and washed the American flag with soap in front, and he called the press at the time, because he was tinted with the blood of the Vietnamese. He was protesting against the invasion of the U.S. in Vietnam.
This is just one of many demonstrations and one of many times that Dean Reed got arrested, Reggie Nadelson. And at the end, you visit his home in East Berlin, or what used to be East Berlin, and that flag was still there.
It was still there, and it's fantastic for me to meet or to hear your caller who remembers these things from Chile, because the thing about Dean Reed, because so few people in America or Europe knew who he was, the whole time I was researching it, every time I'd meet a person who actually had seen him or knew him, it gave it this fantastic reality for me. That became one of his emblems, the washing out the flag. And in his house in East Berlin, or in the suburb of East Berlin, what he did was he'd hung the flag upside down to show his disapproval or contempt for the way the United States government conducted its foreign policy. And as your caller said, to show that he had washed out the blood of the Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm. TK, do you remember any of his music?
Well, what was important for me as a musician is that he was an American singer singing songs, for example, that weren't sung by other American singers. I think he sang a lot of songs by by Pete Seeger and probably Malvina Reynolds at the time. And so it was interesting to see somebody who looks so, quote-unquote, an American icon. He was blonde and blue eyes, tall and very, very buen mozo, good looking. And then, but he was singing other types of songs that weren't played on the radio. So he had a really big impact on me, and I think in a lot of musicians in Chile.
Well, let's listen to one of Dean Reed's songs in Spanish. I'm not sure how political this one is. It's called Vete con él, or Go with Him.
Prometo no verte nunca más. Te prometo que digo la verdad. Algún día olvidaré su amor, pero ahora no, pero ahora no. Te prometo no hablarte nunca más. No me importa lo que me costará.
Dean Reed, and I think, TK, some of the stuff you were referring to probably didn't have a lot of strings behind it.
well, I never heard that song from him, But I, you know, he was also kind of very controversial because at the time when he was in Chile, there was a lot of controversy in terms of the politics and in terms mm-hmm. of the role of musicians and the role of music in society. And so I think he was, some people, you know, laugh at him because of what he was doing, but some people were really kind of serious about the his statements and what he was saying. So he was a controversial figure, and I think very adored by a lot of people in Chile.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, TK. Appreciate it.
Okay.
We are talking today with Reggie Nadelson about her book, Comrade Rockstar, The Life and Mystery of Dean Reed, the All-American Boy Who Brought Rock and Roll to the Soviet Union. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, and our email address is talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And it's interesting, Reggie Nadelson, TK was saying one of the big things was that, well, he was an American doing all this stuff. And that was, I think, you say, a big source of his appeal in the Soviet Union as well.
I think in a way it was always his huge appeal. I mean, the guy didn't have a lot of musical talent, and his politics were not original. I mean, they were, you know, at first they were sort of standard 60 politics. He had a bit of everything. He was a Maoist for a while. He was a Stalinist for a while. He was a socialist for a while. But the real talent he had, especially when he got to the Soviet Union and to the East, was being an American. And one of the things that I found absolutely stunning, and I was helped in this a lot by a journalist who's probably been on NPR a lot, called Vladimir Posner.
Oh, yes.
And I went to see Vladimir on my first Dean Reed trip to Moscow. And, you know, one of the things that he said in terms of context was that from around 1963, when JFK was assassinated and there was more news from the United States into the Soviet Union, people turned 180 degrees. I remember Vlad saying this specifically. And everything American became wonderful. Everything American was seditious and delicious and desired. And, you know, another person I got to know, Art Troitsky, who was the kind of rocker who said everything West was good. And here was this gorgeous American in tight jeans singing rock and roll. But the double-edged sword was he was spouting the party line. Mm-hmm. And so the irony became that they were only allowed him because he was official, and they only wanted him because he was seditious.
as you put it, he ended up playing before every ghoul in Eastern Europe.
Yes, he did. He made the rounds. But I think nothing more delightful to me than when he also played the kind of worldwide socialist camp. And there is a piece of drop-dead wonderful film archive of Dean with the PLO, sort of with a checked headscarf, with a rifle, and then you cut, and somebody is tapping their fingers on the table while Dean sings Ghost Riders in the Sky. The camera pulls back, and it's Yasser Arafat. Clearly, Ghost Riders in the Sky was one of his hot favorites.
Must have been. Let's talk with Karen. Karen calling from Washington, D.C.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was just calling because I'm probably one of a few Western people who know Dean Reed. My dad was a military officer stationed in what was then West Germany during the late 70s and early 80s. And our downstairs neighbor was a German lady whose relatives lived in the eastern part of the country. And it's kind of a reverse thing. Her kids, when they went to go visit with her, used to sneak Dean Reed tapes back across. So I was, you know, a tween, I guess they would call it now, listening to what was then some pretty outrageous stuff. And I got into big trouble from my dad, who was, of course, very patriotic, for listening to this, you know, commie music.
Well, let's hear if you remember this one. This is Dean Reed's Girl Happy.
Yes, I am girl happy. Well, I am girl happy. Can't you see?
Girl happy, girl happy.
Every girl I see looks good to me.
Girl happy, girl happy.
What a crazy way out way to be.
Girl happy, girl happy.
And I think that's complete with East German backup singers there, Karen.
Yes, Yes, and it's really wonderful. I actually still have one of the, I guess I shouldn't probably say this on the radio, but I have, you know, still have a bootleg tape of Dean Reed that, you know, should be embarrassing, but it's a guilty pleasure.
Thanks very much for the call, Karen. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
By the way, at our website, npr.org, you can read about what drew Dean Reed to East Berlin. The first chapter from Comrade Rockstar is on the Talk of the Nation page at npr.org. There's also some video clips of Reed singing on East German TV, and I have to say they're pretty hilarious. But Reggie Nadelson, eventually you come to the conclusion that there was no grand conspiracy to kill Dean Reed, that he killed himself.
Well, I think in a funny way, it was the most tragic and most, well, poignant, not tragic ending. I mean, what happened essentially was that in 1984, 85, he came home. I mean, he remained an American citizen all his life. He filed with the IRS. He was legit. And he came home for a long visit with a friend in Loveland, Colorado, and he totally fell in love with America. He fell in love with the weather, with the Colorado mountains, with everything, and he wanted to come home. But, of course, by now he was a 46, 47-year-old. I mean, pretty much a has-been, even in the Soviet Union, because remember by now, 85, Gorbachev comes in, glasnost, perestroika. They begin to have their own rock stars. They begin to have people like Boris Grebenchikov, who are the real goods.
Hmm.
And nobody really wants this kind of old, now old rocker. And I think he felt trapped, and he was about to make a new movie. And I don't know. I always think of it was a sort of half unwilled suicide. He took a sleeping pill. He drove off to meet someone at night. Nobody quite knows what happened, except he disappeared, and three or so days later, they found his body in the lake. And, of course, because the wall was still up.
Yep, we have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Reggie Nadelson, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Her book is Comrade Rockstar, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.